May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow grown? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. Hymn 915.
To read from his holy word, the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvellously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence, their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall divide every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. Because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou of whom we've read, thou art of pure eyes and to behold iniquity. No, Lord, we are full of it. We plead then that thou wouldst hide us in thy Son. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. May we even now be found led by thy Spirit in that way the hymn writer speaks of. But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen as I approach to God. Oh, may it be so. We plead that blood which did once for sin atone, that blood which alone cleanses, and which cleanses from all sin, wheresoever it is applied. O Lord, we thank thee that the mercy seat is a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. O Lord, we pray, may we be found in that blessed place of safety. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, we ask this afternoon for thy gracious Spirit, that we may in reality, in truth, in spirit, worship God in the person of his Son, and in Christ Jesus know the Father by the blessed operation of the dear Holy Spirit. Oh, dear Lord, do send thy Spirit down in the name of thy Son. Testify of truth. Show us ourselves. Show us thy Son. Lead us to him. O Lord, we pray for that true conviction of sin, that godly sorrow that leads to repentance not to be repented of. We do pray, Lord, for that faith. Lord, may the Son of Man be lifted up this day, as thou, blessed Spirit, canst alone lift him up. And may those who've come in here today with a spiritual serpent bite, convicted of sin, deep wounded soul, a lost soul, a ruined soul, undone, who say with Isaiah, woe is me, for I'm undone. O Lord, do for the glory of thy great name bless such with a believing view of the once crucified, now risen, ascended, exalted Saviour. Lord, it did that serpent-bitten Israelite no good to look upon his bite, but nor could he look to that brazen serpent till it was lifted up at thy command in that way of which the hymn writer said, that is the way I choose to save. Oh, we pray, Lord. Oh, work mightily in the hearts of sinners this day. Do make thy choice their choice. Lord, oh, it can only be by thy sovereign grace. Had not thy choice prevented mine, I ne'er had chosen thee. And Lord, we read in thy word, and we prove it, some of us, It is by faith we choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, we do pray thy blessing on those, each dear friend that has turned in here this day, Lord, with a hunger, a thirst. We've turned away from the things which their nature hankers after. They've turned in a different direction from the direction their nature would take them and the world goeth. Lord, grant them a portion. Lord, that they shall not regret coming here this day. Lord, they shall remember it as long as memory is granted by thee. Oh, may Jesus meet his people here this day, that they may, as spared in looking back, say, they mind the spot, the piece of ground where Jesus did them meet. We confess, Lord, we're unworthy, but Lord, thou dost speak nothing of worthiness except the worthiness of the Lamb, thy dear Son. Lord, thou didst go to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Lord, we pray, come and be our guest. Enter thyself and cast out sin. Oh, more of thy Spirit may we be blessed with. More of thy image may we bear. Oh, we thirst for holiness. Lord, feeling within that makes us thirst, the unholiness. Defiled we are, a leper all unclean. But Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, help us even now to come to thee in that same faith that is given that leper. And oh Lord, may we even this afternoon be favoured to hear, I will, be thou clean. Lord, we pray thy blessing on this people. Lord, be with them each, individually. Go with them, preserve them, keep them, help them, guide them, direct them. Above all, Lord, lead them daily unto Christ as their prophet, priest and king. Lord, we pray for the young. Be the guide of their youth. Order their steps in thy word and let not any sin have dominion over them. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Lord, do enable. For Lord, we do not take heed to thy word. Without thy special grace, the fear of the Lord. Oh, do grant it to the young and each one of us. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst guide them. Lord, how in a particular way the young need it. As in the days of youth, Lord, those decisions are made which may have such far-reaching consequences. Oh Lord, we pray, make them to realise the seriousness of these things. And make them to realise their inability to know what is right or do what is right. Grant them that grain of faith as a mustard seed. Lord, to look to thee. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Lord, we pray then, do appear, help. We ask thy blessing on those newly married. Oh, keep them together, bind them closer and closer together. Lord, oh, we pray for help as they begin in this new path. Now, young friends, if according to thy holy will thou dost join them together in holy matrimony, Lord, we pray for them thy presence and blessing. On that day, as they may be spared to it and in their path from that day forward. And Lord, we pray, bless each, Lord, in the midst of life and the aged and the infirm, the weak, the afflicted. Be very gracious unto each. Lord, we pray thy rich blessing. Uphold those in trials and tribulations. Grant that grace all sufficient. Lord Jesus, thy people shall endure because thou didst endure. And thou hast said in thy word how thy people shall endure, as Moses did, seeing him who is invisible. Lord, grant that faith then. Oh, in that need we have of it to be renewed. Thou art the fount of every grace. O Lord, we pray, may we be by thy grace found at the fountainhead. Bring us away from all cisterns. Make us the low, the mire they bring. And Lord, those that perhaps have been long at a cistern, Lord, we pray for thy gathering once again to the fountainhead. Draw me and we will run after thee. Lord, if thou should say, as thou didst on that last day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If thou should say that with that power, Lord, thy people should come. They shall come. Grant a thankful heart for thy mercies. Rapidly another year of our lives has passed. Lord, thou knowest the way that we take, each one of us. But Lord, one thing is certain. Our life is but a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Lord, we do thank thee for thy kindness and thy mercy, thy long-suffering forbearance. Lord, can thy people say thou hast been a wilderness to them? No, for thou never art a wilderness to thy people. Alas, in the course of our sin, we get into the wilderness, but that is not thee. Oh, we thank thee where thou hast come into the wilderness and brought thy people up, leaning upon thee. Oh, Lord, we pray for that work to be done again and again as thy people have need. And we do pray to be kept from wandering off into the wilderness again. Oh, bind us by thy irresistible grace to thyself. Oh, Lord, bid us roam no more. Do bless the deacons of this cause. Bless their labours. Direct them in all the matters that fall to their lot as thou hast put them in this position. Hear their prayers. Lord, help them and each that fear thee in the church and congregation to be much in prayer, to pray without ceasing. For while there is life, there is hope. Oh, we pray, Lord, may deacons, ministers, pastors, mothers in Israel, and those Fathers that travail for souls, oh, may they be favoured with the fulfilment of the promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Lord, the harvest that thou hast brought forth. Lord, grant yet a harvest here. The precious souls. Oh, we pray, go forth, sweet Prince. In thy majesty and power, compassion and grace. Go to those houses, thy people, dead in sin or fallen aside, backslidden. Go and drive out the adversary Satan. Lay claim to thy own purchased possession. Lord, grant that true repentance, that returning unto the house of the Heavenly Father. Forgive all we ask amiss. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Open up thy word to us and apply it, we pray. Lord, be mouth, matter and wisdom to one poor sinner that stands before thy people to speak. Touch his lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. O Lord, get to thy great name, glory and honour. Lord, do touch the ears and the hearts of the hearers. The faith may be mixed with what they hear. May Christ be first and Christ be last. And Christ be all in all, we ask in his name. Amen.
Hymn 864. Holy Ghost, inspire our praises. Touch our hearts and tune our tongues. While we laud the name of Jesus, heaven will gladly share our songs. Hosts of angels bright and glorious, while we hymn our common King, will be glad to join the chorus, and the Lord himself shall sing. Hymn 864.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2. Reading verses 2, 3, and 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk was a true servant of God, made so by God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he was made to feel his own great need. Everyone whom the Lord sends to speak in his name is made by God to feel this. And in this way, in dependence upon the Lord makes them his servant and not their own master. He said of Elisha, the word of the Lord is with him. How was it so? Secret, private, exercise before God. Prayer. After Elijah being gathered into heaven, he returns and stands by the brink of the river Jordan, smites the waters with the mantle of Elijah, and says, where is now the Lord God of Elijah? And God shows that he is with him. And how the Lord showed that he was with Habakkuk, because he caused him to stand upon his watch, set him upon his tower, looking out. Oh, my dear friends, this is the position that the Lord puts all his people in, whether they're ministers or not. Looking out, listening. What will the Lord do? What will the Lord show me? What will the Lord say to me? If any of you have been blessed under the ministry of the word, it's because the Lord's servant has received those words from the Lord and been enabled to declare them. Paul exhorts the people to pray for him, that a door of utterance may be opened unto him, to make known the mystery of Christ. What he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I don't want to go back in great detail over the previous chapter, but as I was reading it, I felt the burden laid upon me to just mention to you that solemn judgment that the Lord brought upon the people of Israel in those days. And are not his judgments upon us in the day in which we live? Collectively as a group of churches, shall there be evil in the city? And the Lord hath not done it. He said in that day that he would raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. The psalmist was made wise by the Spirit of God when he prayed at the end of that psalm. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. The judgments that are upon you, only God can cause them to help you. Alas, without grace, we do not listen to the Lord's voice. We do not hear his rod, and who hath appointed it? But there is a prayer there for a poor sinner who finds themselves unable to profit under the Lord's dealings, who instead of finding themselves purified, finds more filth come forth. Instead of finding themselves meekened, finds rebellion rising up in their heart against the Lord. Let thy judgments help me. And what will it be if the Lord causes his judgments to help you? He will make you a Hezekiah. Under that sore affliction in his body, on top of the affliction, the besieging of the city by the Assyrians, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto his God. That is the Lord causing his judgments to help us. Has he caused you to do that concerning the judgments upon us as a group of churches, or upon your church, your congregation? Has he caused you to do that concerning the things in your family, in your own personal circumstances, with regard to the darkness you might feel in your own soul? Well, look what Hezekiah got from his God through turning his face to the wall. Look what he got from his God, from crying like a crane or a swallow chattering. Look what he got from his God in mourning as a dove. Though his eyes failed with looking upward, look what he got from his God. I've heard thy prayer. When did you last have that? Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will defend thee in this city from the Assyrians. I've put thy sins behind my back. And so Habakkuk, he by the Lord in this first chapter was given that help to realize that this judgment of the Lord was not to destruction. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? Perhaps there is one here this afternoon, and under the Lord's judgment you fear. You're a bastard and not a son. But what does he who is from everlasting say? If my children forsake my law and break my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Before I try to proceed, let me try and summarize then this point. Prayer. Prayer. The Lord's appointed way of delivering his people. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if individually and collectively a spirit of prayer was given unto us for deliverance. Because one thing is certain, when the Lord raises up a bitter nation like the Chaldeans, we shan't stop them. We can't deliver them ourselves from them. And we prove it so. Oh, is the one here this afternoon and you're in such trouble and you can't see a way out? Well, there isn't a way out if the Lord is dealing with you as he deals with sons. There isn't a way out in your working. But remember, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. You might say, well, they're wicked people. Well, the Lord uses wicked people for the correction of his people. You might say, well, what they're doing is wrong. But the Lord uses such things for the correction of his people. When, my dear friend, your eyes are turned by God off the wrong that other people are doing to the wrong in your own heart, then the Lord is beginning to make his judgments help you. And there is only one cry: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And no one ever has yet prayed that prayer and God hasn't been merciful to them. He is bound by his own word. Well, Habakkuk says, and the Lord answered me. And the Lord answered me. He does answer. Prayer is God's means to an end. We are not saved by prayers. We are saved by answers. True, when the Lord gives a spirit of prayer, there is gracious help by the Lord. There is the help of finding a relief in pouring out the request unto God. But the salvation is the answer. And the Lord answered me. You don't know, my dear friends. You cannot know. We cannot expect you to know. No one knows but the Lord and the Lord's servant how he has to groan and cry and beg his way along in coming to preach to you. And what a wonderful thing it is. I have proved it myself many times, my dear friend. The Lord has answered me. Sometimes he keeps his servants waiting till they're in the pulpit till he answers them. Sometimes he keeps them waiting till the middle hymn, till he answers them, to give them a taste. But it's the Lord's answer that is blessed to the Lord's people. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk, of course, was one of the Lord's servants that was particularly appointed of God to write a part of the inspired scripture. You dear young ones, and each of you here this afternoon, it's because the Lord commanded men to write, and women for that matter, women like Hannah and others to write, that we have this precious, precious book, the revelation of Almighty God. You young ones, this book is never out of date. What Habakkuk wrote in this day, what Moses wrote years before this, because it was the word of God, it is the word of God, it is never out of date. And it is so complete. Because it is the word of Almighty God. Write the vision. That is what the Lord shows you. That's the vision. Oh, you see, the true servant of God, the true Old Testament prophet, he didn't write what he saw with his natural eyes. He wrote what the Lord showed him. The prophet Isaiah, what was the vision he was shown? He says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Holy, holy, holy. That was the vision. He didn't see that with his natural eyes, did he? He was shown it by God. What a precious, vital thing is this vision. To have revealed to you the word of God, to have God reveal himself to you in his holiness. As we read Habakkuk's word, thou art of pure eyes than to behold iniquity. And then, oh, what did Isaiah say because of that vision? Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips because I've seen the Lord of hosts. Then what a blessed vision he was given. Then flew one of the seraphims, tongs in his hand, and took a live coal from off the heavenly altar and touched his lips and said unto him, lo, this hath purged thine iniquity and cleansed thee from thy sin. He's given the vision. Now what does he say? When the Lord says to him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said Isaiah, here am I. Send me. And he's got something to go with. The vision. Write the vision. Write it. Make it plain upon tables. The work of the Holy Spirit is always to make things plain. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. Of course, the preeminent example is the ministry of Christ himself. Oh, the depth of truth in a few words. Oh, how those of us that attempt to speak in the Lord's name can quite go along with what Mr. Philpott said, and of course he was a much more eminent minister of the gospel than some of us feel to be. But oh, how he felt with all the words he speaks, how little he spoke. In comparison with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, he expresses this desire, doesn't he? I'd rather in the church speak five things with my understanding than preach in an unknown tongue. Make it plain upon tables. Why? Why is it so important? That he may run that readeth it. What is this running that the reader is engaged in by the work of the Spirit? Why? There's a race. There's a prize to be won. There's a refuge to be found. And entered into. There's pardon to be obtained. There's deliverance to be obtained. Look at the simplicity of the Lord's words. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look at the simplicity of the vision written upon tables. As God calls the apostles to write the Lord's own words, ask, and it shall be given thee. Can anything be plainer than that? Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's not complicated, is it? The whole work is utterly beyond the power of men. Do not misunderstand my meaning concerning my assertion that it is not complicated. It is all the work of God's Spirit. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Oh, a poor sinner that the Lord takes in hand. And oh, may those of us that are called by the Lord to speak to sinners in the Lord's name, may we be given grace to remember this, that the people we have sat before us as we speak are sinners, like we are. And you see, this is how the Lord does it in his ministers' cases. I sat where they sat, said Ezekiel. Oh, to point out the place, be mine to recommend the grace. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet to make known to my people their sins. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Salvation is always by the vision. Because salvation is always by the revelation of the Saviour. The Lord appearing. What a wonderful vision Daniel had to write and to make plain upon tables. Messiah should be cut off. But not for himself. to make an end of sin, to finish the transgression, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. The vision. The Lord appearing. I think of the words of the apostle when he neared the end of his course. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who look for his appearing. This vision is the Lord appearing. What Habakkuk was told by the Lord was this: he would appear. He would appear. This is the substance of the ministry of the gospel to Adam and Eve. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. This is the substance of Abraham's faith. When he's going up to Mount Moriah and Isaac says to him, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? My son, God shall provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. The vision. But surely it speaks of the vision being such that there should be clarity. Oh, what blind people we are. But it is to the blind the Lord speaks in his word. He promises to open the eyes of the blind. He promises that the blind shall see out of obscurity. He promises he'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. He'll lead them in paths they've not known. And this is the exercise he puts in these people of his, as he set forth in the prayer of the blind men we read of in the Gospels. There was that man. He couldn't see what was going on. But he heard something going on, and he asked the people, what is it that's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried out, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. They bade him be quiet, but he couldn't. He couldn't be quiet. When the Lord gives a person a longing for the mercy of Jesus of Nazareth, they can't be quiet until they've got it. Do you know anything of that? Sometimes we can't pray. No more pray than we can fly. But if we know the influence of the Spirit of God, we can't stop praying. And Jesus stood still. Oh, sinner, this afternoon, look what prayer does. Look what prayer does. And it wasn't because Bartimaeus was such a good man. It was because Jesus was such a good man. Oh, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And what does Jesus say? Bring him to me. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Lord, that mine eyes might be opened. And he granted him his request. That man saw. Oh, it's done, my dear friend, in a moment. It's done in a moment. Has it been done for you? You need it. The vision. The vision. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me behold thy son. That I might see him suffering in my room, place, and stead. That I might see mercy and justice meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. See the law fulfilled for me. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Why? Because God has appointed it. God has appointed it. There is an appointment made by God in his eternal counsels. Those appointments are all made. They are in his book. It's his sovereign prerogative. Not only what he does, but to who he does it. And when he does it. The vision is his work. Habakkuk can't bring about this vision. The Apostle Paul cannot bring about this vision. No, there's an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. But at the end, that is, at the end of that time, when that time comes, when God's clock has gone down to the moment when the vision will appear. But at the end, it shall speak. It is a speaking vision. Oh, what God reveals. As he reveals his son, what a speaking vision it is. What does that vision speak? It speaks love. It says this. Greater love hath no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his friends. The vision speaks love into a sinner's heart. The vision speaks pardon. Pardon through a Saviour's sufferings and death. Pardon through those streams of blood that ran from his thorn-pierced brow and from his hands and his feet and his side. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies. Revenge the blood of Abel cries, but the dear stream when Christ was slain speaks peace as loud from every vein. It speaks pardon, but at the end it shall speak. It speaks compassion. This was compassion like a God that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew. A certain Samaritan as he journeyed came to him. What a vision that was. What was facing that man? Death. Oh, that Samaritan drew near. Looked upon him, had compassion on him and went to him and poured in the oil and the wine, bound up his wounds, set him on his own beast and took him to an inn. It speaks compassion. The vision speaks righteousness. The righteousness of God. Sinner, The only righteousness is that the apostle speaks of, that righteousness which is by faith. And that is that when the vision is given, that when the Lord shows himself satisfied concerning your sins, child of God, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, his Son, the vision gives faith. The vision gives faith, and faith brings the experience of justification by the imputing of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You can't take these things. They are God's gift. But at the end it shall speak. Oh, it shall speak the wisdom of God. Now, whatever this vision means in your experience, child of God, firstly, let me begin with the revelation of Christ. Paul said when he said we preach Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. The vision speaks wisdom. Oh, the wisdom of God. Oh, in that he appointed his Son to stand against the devil. What a wise choice. The wisdom of God that he appointed the sufferings of Jesus Christ to be the atonement for his people's sins. What wisdom. That he appointed the obedience of his Son Jesus Christ to be the righteousness of his church. What wisdom. He appointed that Jesus Christ should be the fruitful vine to make his people fruitful branches. What wisdom. Because there's such virtue in this vine. But then you see it shall speak. Oh, it will be spoken into your heart, sinner. The wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which if the princes of this world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of life and glory. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But then, at the end it shall speak. That is, God shall speak and reveal his wisdom in all that the child of God has been through to this appointed time at the end. Job was an upright man who feared God. He eschewed evil. He was a godly man. But he's a sinner. And all that the law permitted Satan to do in his case. What do we find Job saying in the midst of it? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I go forward and backward, but he is not there. I look on the right hand and on the left, but I cannot perceive him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Spirit put that in his heart. Not everything Job said was put there by the Spirit. But he put that in his heart. And what do we find Job saying at the end? Because of what God said to him. Oh, sinner. What a favour if we should be brought forth as gold at last. What is it to be brought forth as gold? It's for God to make it known that we are his chosen people, that we are redeemed by the blood of his Son, that we are clothed in his righteousness, that Christ is ours. We are nothing in ourselves, but Christ is ours, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's what it is to be brought forth as gold. No man but Christ seen. No self but Christ. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. At the end it shall speak and not lie. It shall speak the truth. You and I have got deceitful hearts. The word of God says he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. But we do. Is there one here this afternoon that can say, I never trust in my own heart? But if we're the Lord's, he will cure us of trusting in our own heart. He'll cure us by making us feel our ignorance and blindness, and bringing us into that confusion Job speaks of. I'm full of confusion. By causing us to fall at the Lord's feet and beg deliverance. The psalmist did, didn't he? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When the Lord speaks, it is the words of truth. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. It shall speak and not lie. And not lie. Oh, is there one here this afternoon and there are great questions in your heart and mind? What is truth? What is faith? What is true faith? What is true repentance? What is it to be a real Christian? There's only one place you can get the answer. You sung in the hymn, didn't you? Christian, dost thou want a teacher? Here Habakkuk prophesies the word of the Lord. The Lord will be the teacher of his people. Oh, when this vision is granted, then you'll know what faith is. When this vision is granted, then you'll know what repentance is. Then you'll know what love is. Because all good faith, all good hope, all good love, all good repentance flows from this blessed one who is revealed, Jesus Christ. Nothing flows from him into a sinner's heart but by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The two on the Emmaus Road, he was walking with them. And they got nothing from him until he opened his mouth. Mary thought he was the gardener till he said to her, Mary, you shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it tarry. Your deacon's first hymn confirmed me with regard to this text. Speaks of that waiting upon the Lord. Now this waiting It is not an inactive exercise. This waiting, which is the exercise of faith, it is a looking for the vision. It is a pleading for the vision. It is a seeking. It is an expectation. The psalmist speaks of the exercise of the Spirit that this word waiting means. I watch for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, that deliverance that you have long sought, sinner, it tarries. Wait for it. Why? Because of an appointed time. I said, not under the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak in righteousness. Wait for it. In the Word of God, we have those examples where the Lord's people were caused to fast. That is, abstain from food, giving themselves in the Lord's powerful, the Spirit's powerful operation, giving themselves to this exercise of waiting for this vision. But I believe, and I wouldn't speak at all against fasting, if any of you are familiar with the diary and memoirs of Ruth Bryan, you know that she, on a few occasions, actually fasted from food in giving her soul in this exercise of waiting, watching, pleading for the Lord's appearing. But the principal thing that fasting sets forth, I believe, in a spiritual sense, is when a child of God, by the Holy Spirit, is shut up to receiving nothing but what comes from the Lord. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Turn not aside to this one on the left hand and the right that says, lo here and lo there. Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids straight before thee. Wait for it. Oh, but you may say, but how do I know that I shall obtain it? Well, look back at the text. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. If the word of the Lord comes to you with some power so that it raises up in your heart at least a who can tell, causes you to believe that there is such a thing as this vision. And by the word that is spoken, you're given hope. And as you read the vision that is written, that is, as the word of the Lord comes to your soul with some power, you run. What is that? You begin to go after it in desire. You know, these runners, they're not those that are apparently most active in religion. These runners are those that run to their closets. These runners are those that in secret call upon God in words expressed or in sighs or groans. Now, if there is that, if the word has come to you in that way, you will obtain it. You will obtain it. God never disappoints his people. If God has ever made you and does ever make you really on the stretch after Christ, you'll win him one day. But you say, I'm so poor in my running, I'm so poor in my seeking. I get turned aside so easily. Yes, but your obtaining it doesn't depend on your steadfastness. Your obtaining it depends on one thing, God's faithfulness. Remember that one who was seen by John in the Revelation, sat on that white horse, and his name was faithful and true. And if your soul is pleading, what are the words of him whose name is faithful and true? He will be faithful and true. He'll prove his name to your soul. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry, not tarry indefinitely, and not always be put off. And what will the Lord's people prove when it does come? The timing was perfect. Oh, how often we have had cause, child of God, to look back. And we thought God was behind time, but he wasn't. He never is before his time, and he never is behind. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The soul which is lifted up, that is lifted up against God. Alas, that is the thing that sin does to us. It lifts up our soul against God. Rebellion, impatience. My dear friend, if we are in a complaining spirit to this afternoon because the Lord hasn't appeared yet, our soul is lifted up. If we're in a complaining spirit this afternoon because of what the Lord has laid upon us, our soul is lifted up. Can we have any cause to complain if we're out of hell? And alas, those that are in hell have no just cause of complaint. And the teaching, the work of the Spirit, brings a sinner before God as they ought to be before him. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. But the just shall live by his faith. Oh, there is a life given before the vision comes. A child of God doesn't begin to live when the vision comes. Oh, they have a much more abundant life when the vision comes. They live as they behold him who is their life. But the Spirit communicates from that one this life. And the hymn writer sums it up, I must come to a close. Lord, if thy covenant has designed no blessing for me, then how is it I find some comfort, some blessing in waiting for thee? The just shall live by faith. Not on faith. You can't live on faith. Such a small thing, isn't it? And how often a poor sinner fears to have none. He lives by faith. Who does faith look to, by which the just live? They look and plead with the just one, the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Tea will be provided shortly after the close of this service on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind, and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Do bless it, cause it to remain in our hearts profitably. Help us to walk in it. Forgive all amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.